So where are we running right now?
Okay, so right now we're at the Bray Park. We're running on just by like the edge of the park.
My running partner is a junior at Jordan Matthews High School in Siler City. We're matching strides on an asphalt path he knows well, but as he tells me just months ago, this wouldn't have been possible.
Around here, I would honestly be gassed out. I would be starting breathing hard whenever I did cartridges.
The cartridges he's talking about are vaping cartridges, little plastic containers filled with a liquid solution that's heated and inhaled. But he didn't use the nicotine kind you see at convenience stores. He was vaping THC, the ingredient in marijuana that gets you high. We're withholding the student's name because THC cartridges, like all marijuana products, are illegal in North Carolina. But that hasn't stopped Jordan Matthews students from getting a hold of them.
There's getting a lot of people who are selling cards. Since many people want them, they see profit. And honestly, I do think there's profit because at school, majority of the people do it. And they go through a cart in 3 days.
Do they do it in school?
Oh, yes. Some people go to the bathroom. Some people do it in the classrooms. Some people do it in the hallways. And honestly, the school's not really enforcing.
Over at Jordan Matthews, Principal Tripp Creighton refutes the notion that faculty members aren't cracking down on vaping. He says it's just hard to constantly patrol students.
Vaping is probably happening at our school. That's because we can't catch everything and can't see everything.
Creighton says that some vapes look like school-approved electronic devices, like USB flash drives.
To say Jordan Matthews is the only one that has vaping going on would not be truthful, because this is a common occurrence.
So common that a survey by University of Michigan researchers found that 13% of high school seniors vaped THC last year, a sharp increase from the year before. The CDC says about 1 in 7 patients with vaping-related illnesses are under 18. A few of those patients have been treated at Duke Regional Hospital in Durham, where Brian Stevenson works as an intensive care doctor. He says in some cases, the symptoms are mild, like shortness of breath and coughing spurts.
But sometimes they can be severe, and they can be in extreme respiratory distress, where they're, you know, struggling hard to breathe, can't catch their breath.
And that's exactly what happened to the Jordan Matthews student. As we jog, he tells me he started vaping THC because he was taking advanced placement classes and wanted something to ease his stress. At first it worked, then he showed up to soccer tryouts.
All right, so the area that we just ran, at the day that we were at the tryouts, that was like the sort of distance that I was running, and I was already gassed out, and I was throwing up at that point.
His coaches rushed him to a doctor who stabilized him, but it wasn't until he was suspended from soccer and school that he quit vaping entirely.
But the one thing I do want to say is that after I did carts, I don't feel like my lung capacity is as it was before I did it.
He said he's been trying to get his friends to quit vaping too, but so far, he hasn't had much luck. In Siler City, I'm Jared Weber. No payout! On day one of his new job, Kevin Guskowitz was greeted by an old controversy.
No BOG, no racist UNC!
Graduate student Calvin Deutschbein was among about 70 people who protested in the rain outside the Board of Governors meeting. They ridiculed the board's recent settlement involving the Silent Sam Confederate Monument.
This is an attack on North Carolinians. It is disproportionately an attack on Black North Carolinians and other North Carolinians of color.
Student Lindsay Ayling criticized the board's decision to give the statue and $2.5 million to the Sons of Confederate Veterans.
If you're going to use our money to fund the white supremacist groups that have literally threatened to murder us, what are you doing in public education?
It is my honor for the first time to introduce Chancellor Kevin Guskowitz.
Guskowitz didn't talk about Silent Sam in his first public appearance as chancellor, but announced a $5 million diversity initiative.
We must ensure that every person on our campus feels safe, welcomed, and included.
The new chancellor did not take questions after the event. In Chapel Hill, I'm Jared Weber. Before he leaves for work at the Butterball Poultry Plant, Jean-Felix Petitfouet stows his dinner in a shoulder strap lunchbox. Haitian legume, black bean sauce, and 2 scoops of white rice.
That's enough for me.
The 64-year-old earns $13 an hour, cutting and gutting carcasses from dusk until dawn at the world's largest turkey processing plant. He sends much of that money home to Haiti, where his wife and family are still rebuilding their house after the 2010 earthquake.
I'm trying to use a little money I get to help my family. If I don't got nothing, I can't do nothing.
Petitfouet is one of about 46,000 Haitians working in the U.S. under Temporary Protected Status, or TPS, an immigration program the Obama administration established after the earthquake. The Trump administration is trying to end it, saying a temporary program can't go on forever. But for now, federal courts are keeping it alive. Petitfouet says the uncertainty weighs on the minds of many Haitians in Mount Olive.
I think too much about that. You have too many Haitian people to think about that too.
Mount Olive Town Manager Charles Brown hopes the program continues. He says the nearly 1,500 Haitian immigrants here have become an indispensable workforce, especially for the food processing plants that are the backbone of the local economy.
If you brought a train through one night and loaded up all the immigrants and took them somewhere else, the local economy would suffer. Mount Olive Pickle would suffer. Butterball would suffer. The farming industry would suffer.
Haitian-owned businesses are now sprinkled along Mount Olive's center street, interspersed between longstanding tenants and dilapidated storefronts. There's God's Grace Convenience Store, which sells Haitian food.
Hey, bonjour.
And in September, Sophie Pognon opened her secondhand clothing shop.
That's 240.
Pognon's husband is the pastor of the town's first Haitian church. She works days in the thrift store and nights at a nearby hospital.
My people, they just want somewhere they can walk. They don't mind to do hard job. They just try to make a living.
Making a living is challenging for many Haitians here. The work in the food processing plants is strenuous, the pay is modest, and they still face resentment from some other residents.
Let me know if I can help you, okay?
Deborah Susan James owns an antique shop that shares a wall with Sylvie Thrift Store. James says there's little interaction between Haitians and other locals.
There's still the great divide, but I see it on both sides.
And she says many of her neighbors support President Trump's efforts to send them back.
I think if people told you the truth would be there is no room for them. They're invading our space. Most people in this town are older and set in their ways, and yes, they do want them sent back.
But back at her store, Pognon says those people simply haven't walked in the shoes of their Haitian neighbors.
Whatever way you go, you're going to find people don't understand you.
Two federal appeals courts will decide the future of TPS. Lawyers say decisions could come anytime. Until then, Pognon says her community will keep working to make a living for themselves in eastern North Carolina and for their families in Haiti.
Thank you.
In Mount Olive, I'm Jared Weber.